Welcome to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast for corporate refugees who want to do more of what they love and get paid what they're worth. I'm David Schreiner Kahn, your guide and community builder. Smashing the Plateau is more than just a podcast. We're a platform offering resources, accountability, and camaraderie to high-performing professionals who are making the leap from the corporate career track to entrepreneurial business ownership. If you'd like to learn more about how you can do more of what you love and get paid what you're worth, go to smashingtheplateau.com or email us at info@smashingtheplateau.com.
Change is threatening unless you can see the opportunity in it and you can find meaning and purpose in the change.
Today's episode of Smashing the Plateau dives deep into navigating uncertainty and thriving in times of chaos. We explore how the current climate of economic and political unpredictability impacts consultants, business owners, and professionals, and what you can do to not just survive, but thrive. In my discussion with Bob Goodwin, you'll hear practical insights on building a robust business pipeline, proving your value in ways that resonate with decision makers, and adopting strategies that set you apart when others are frozen by indecision. We'll also discuss how organizations and individuals can use volatility as an opportunity to build resilience, foster innovation, and harness the power of community. This is an essential conversation for anyone looking to future-proof their career or business in uncertain times. Now let's welcome Bob Goodwin. Bob is the president of Career Club, dedicated to helping organizations and professionals unlock their full potential. As a LinkedIn top voice and member of the Harvard Business Review Advisory Council, he is a recognized expert in career development, leadership, and organizational performance. Bob hosts The WorkWire with SHRM CEO Johnny C. Taylor Jr. and Career Club Live, where he interviews Fortune 500 executives. As an executive coach, he helps senior leaders enhance performance, leadership impact, and career clarity, transforming cultures and driving lasting success. Bob, welcome back to the show. Glad to have you on again.
David, always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much for having me.
So, Bob, the last time you were here, which was back in 2021, we talked about how to turn your experience into a business. A lot has changed since then. And each of us has had at least hundreds of conversations with organizational executives, advancing professionals, and others about leadership, careers, and success. And in particular, what I wanted to focus on today is what's going on in our world, in our marketplace. So we're currently in a period of increased chaos, politically and economically. And I know I've seen this play out primarily in the form of indecision. So, for example, for our Smashing the Plateau community members who are primarily consultants, it means things like projects not being renewed quickly, if at all, new initiatives being delayed, and the downturn of revenue for some consultants. Now, I know you focus on both job seekers and executive leadership, and you have probably seen this out in the job market from both sides, from the job seekers and from those that are hiring, and all sorts of decision-making at the executive leadership level. Specifically, what are you seeing today when it comes to how this kind of chaos and indecision is playing out?
No, it's well said. I mean, there is a ton of chaos. There's no doubt about that. And whether it's tariffs, interest rates, or whatever else is going on, you know, people are really being challenged right now to what worked before doesn't seem to be working now, at least not as well. And as you kind of phrase the question, David, two things occurred to me. One is that we just need more opportunities working. So if I'm a job seeker, I need more stuff working, more opportunities that I'm pursuing. I need to build a real pipeline. If I'm a consultant, I would say the same thing, that that anchor client that you've got that's been paying your bills for the past 3 years is probably reconsidering a lot of expenses. Their costs might be going up, and they're going through line by line. I was at an executive offsite 3 weeks ago, and that's exactly what they were doing. And it was amazing to me. I mean, down to what I'm like, I feel like you guys are counting paperclips at this point. But when they look at things where we can go cut expenses and what feels optional, you know, contractors, consultants, things like that, you know, kind of jump to the top of the list sometimes. So we need more stuff working to allow for things that aren't going to close for whatever reason. That's one. So I would kind of put that in the quantity bucket. And on the quality side of it, and this is, again, whether we're talking job seekers, consultants, even trying to hold on to your job if you're a W-2, is demonstrating value much more clearly. And so moving from qualitative benefits to quantitative benefits. And so an example that maybe this is recency effect on my part, but say that we were talking about mental wellness with employees. And let's say that I was an HR consultant and I'm working with my client and the general scope of the work is around the mental well-being of our employees. If I'm the CEO and I've been getting a pretty big dose of Jamie Dimon recently from JP Morgan, he's kind of mad as hell. I'm not going to take it anymore. I mean, like, what do we need this for? Like, you know what? I'm offering them a job. There's a paycheck. Like, I'm not going to coddle people. I'm not their mom. So I'm not going to pay for this mental wellness stuff anymore. And then you're like, well, crap, what am I going to do? Or you can say, well, that's interesting, Jamie. But another way that you might want to think about this is, have you really looked at the productivity costs of having people that are struggling mentally right now, you know, emotionally, psychologically? Have you looked at your absenteeism rates and how those are going up? Have you looked at your healthcare costs and how claims are going up? Are you looking at your, you know, employee assistance program utilization? And so getting to things that are like data-driven, metric-oriented in the language of the CEO and the CFO. And so, you know, I just really strongly, strongly believe that being able to demonstrate value, again, if I'm a job seeker, like I need to have it on my resume. I need to be interviewing with stories that show where I delivered value to the organization, where that could be helping grow the company, save on expenses, or mitigate risk. Those are kind of the three main value levers. Did I help the company make money? Did I help the company save money? And did I help the company mitigate risk? You should be able to ladder up to at least one of those with what your contributions are. If I'm worried about getting laid off, which would be a very real concern for a lot of people, again, I need to be building my brand inside the organization of how I am impacting the bottom line or the top line for the company. And if, again, just to repeat, if I'm a consultant to that company or some kind of a contractor, I need to continually be, you know, demonstrating value and reinforcing why we have this engagement.
So that's from the perspective of the service provider or the employee.
Or the job seeker, correct.
Right, the job seeker. What about from the perspective of the employer? How have you seen this tendency towards indecision or this fear of the chaos play out in terms of how they may be missing opportunities, or they may be, I don't know, like what are you seeing that you think is impacting both the behavior of the decision makers and also how that impacts the performance of their businesses?
Yeah, so that's a great question, David. I mean, I think that, you know, leading up to the election last year, you know, people thought, well, either way that it falls, at least we'll kind of have some clarity on which way things are going. And I don't think this is any kind of a brilliant insight, but, you know, generally people felt that with Trump winning, that was going to be a very pro-business environment. And people got really bullish really fast. And then, you know, Trump did not zig in the way that people expected. He zagged really hard with his tariffs. And it's like, oh, wait a minute, wasn't expecting this. And this is having some very real impacts on my business. And now we watch him, you know, kind of backing off, you know, going from 142% of reference on China to 30% for 90 days. Now there's a deal with the UK and he's over in the Middle East and he's cutting deals. And people are like, I don't know what he's going to do next. And therefore, that uncertainty causes me to pause. And so I think that's one. Two is there's, you know, obviously a lot of talk around interest rates and what the Fed is going to do. And we've got a president who's arguing with the chairman of the Fed on which way interest rates should go. There's a big, one big beautiful bill that's trying to make its way through Congress as you and I record this. It has a lot of tax implications. All this stuff just sort of feeds into the uncertainty. And what do we do when we don't know what to do? We run away, we fight, or we freeze. And it seems like today people are freezing. They're just going to wait and let the dust settle here a little bit. And so that's impacting hiring decisions. It's impacting the kinds of decisions like which consultants we work with. We see it now with all these layoffs that are going on. Again, as you and I record this, Microsoft just let go of 6,000 people. Dell is letting go of a ton of people. PwC just let go of a bunch of people. And a lot of this is in the name of squeezing out middle management, bureaucracy. We're trying to get leaner and more efficient, do more with less. We want to lean on AI for all the promised productivity gains. And so who's the company? Shopify that does powers e-commerce sites. The CEO of Shopify just got recently said, I'm not going to approve any new hires until you prove to me AI can't do that job. So companies are just taking an extremely hard look and they're opting for no action, at least for the short term, until they can't not act. You know, we just saw Walmart is starting to tack on tariff increases and they're directly attributing price increases to tariffs. So, you know, people are starting to make some moves, but generally speaking, companies are just in an extremely cautious mode unless it's on things that they feel are very obvious, like cutting positions, because back to value levers, they see that as cutting costs and that's an easy thing to go do.
Yeah. What are some strategies that you think employers can deploy to get ahead in times of volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity?
Yeah, VUCA.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think that really, really smart companies are going to zig when the other people are zagging. And so, you know, one of the things when there's so much talent in the marketplace right now is the ability to what you mentioned Johnny Taylor at SHRM earlier. Johnny calls it top grading. So I might have B players. They're not terrible. They're certainly not the worst thing. But do I have the opportunity right now to go find an A player and maybe even A player at a discount and upgrade my talent? So while other people are shedding, I may not increase my total number of employees, but I might have the opportunity to upgrade, top grade my talent as an example. Again, everybody's business is unique, but if there are opportunities to selectively do things and be a bit more surgical with your precision on taking advantage of other people's fear. I mean, what's the most obvious example is Warren Buffett, right? If people are running in, he's running out. If people are running out, he's running in. And what's the Warren Buffett strategy you can take to your business to actually capitalize on the VUCA environment that we're in?
Yeah, it makes me think of a common strategy I see in the marketing world, which is marketers will say, and the data can actually demonstrate this, when there's an economic downturn, the last thing that you should cut is marketing.
Yes.
Because now, if you run out of cash, that's a different story. But assuming that you have the cash to keep funding marketing, then marketing is an investment in the future.
That's right.
And if you look at historical data, when there's an economic downturn, the companies that continue to market during the downturn, when the economy improves, because if you look at history, there are downturns and then the economy goes back up, right? So when the economy improves, those that have continued to market outperform their competitors big time, right? So it's really an investment in the future. So I guess what I'm thinking about is when you're in a time like today, where there's so much uncertainty, so much indecision, and people seem to be freezing and people seem to be cutting just because they think they need to cut, even if they still have cash, what's the smart thing to do that's really an investment in the future?
Yeah, well, so it's funny, I talked earlier about fight, right, or freeze, and the marketing is fighting, right? So if I flee, I'm going to cut people, I'm going to cut expenses, and I'm going to just kind of pare way back. And that's a way of kind of running away from the problem. There's freezing, like, I don't know what to do. But that's a great example. I think the example I gave with like selectively hiring, as you were talking about the marketing thing, where my mind went was yes, and, but doing it very selectively and being really smart. It's not just like dump cash against things, but like, where do we get the highest return? Where can we plant the highest yielding seeds? I love what you said, David, that your marketing is really an investment in the future. And so how can we really smartly go plant seeds that are going to produce the crop that we want in the future and leave our competitors going, how did they see that and we missed it?
Yeah. Any thoughts about, or maybe examples of how you see businesses? And this could be from either side, either from the corporate side or from the employee or the consultant side. Any ways that you see people are really being smart and investing in the future and seeing things other people aren't seeing?
Okay, this is probably not the direction the question might have anticipated, but yes. One area is in building corporate resilience. So, I like to say that today is the slowest day for the rest of our lives. Yeah, the rate of change is never going to be, slower than it is today. And the magnitude of change. So, it's just much more pronounced change in shorter periods of time. And as people, we don't like change. Change is threatening unless you can see the opportunity in it and you can find meaning and purpose in the change. And so in my lame example of mental wellness earlier, in reality, when we can build skills into people that they don't run away from change and they don't resent change, but they try and benefit fine, they're like, what's the good that can come from this? How can we grow? How can we be more innovative? How can we run leaner but smarter? When you can find the opportunity in the challenge, then as the challenges come, they don't knock you over like a bowling pin. You stand strong like an oak tree. And not to be too tangential, but oftentimes people think of resilience as like if we were squeezing a foam ball and it's all this pressure and everything that's going on and we're really squeezing the ball. And then we let it go and it returns to its original shape. And we would say that's resilience. And I'd say, no, that's recovery. That's all it did. It just recovered to what it was before. Resilience is more like weight training, where you're tearing the muscle. So again, not denying the stress that you're putting the muscle under, but the muscle with some rest recovers and gets stronger and it builds on itself. And what used to, lifting 5 pounds, 6 months ago, now I can lift 20 pounds. I've actually gotten stronger through the process, not weaker and not just the same. And companies and cultures can use times like this to bring that kind of mindset to their workforce to help reframe. Because again, all this stuff isn't going away. It's just going to accelerate and be more pronounced over time. And if you don't have, and again, not coping skills, but really like, how do I embrace this? Then I think those companies have a really unique opportunity right now to reshape their culture, to not just tactically deal with today, but strategically deal with the tomorrow that we don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but we do know some of the attributes of it.
Yeah. Are there particular kinds of skills that you think companies can develop that will improve resilience of their workforce?
Oh, 100%. So the first one is having a very clearly articulated values. And, the way people talk about culture, and, sometimes it's culture is all the stuff that's on the wall. And I say culture is walking your halls, not hanging on your walls. So culture is how we actually do stuff here. But it's the why we do what we do. And when people can get aligned around my gifts, my talent, my time, is being invested in something I actually care about and think is important and matters, then I can put up with a lot. I think it was Nietzsche who said that, you know, when we have a why to live for, we can endure almost anyhow. And so, you know, it's kind of the Simon Sinek start with why. And if you know why you're here and why you're doing this and why I'm willing to climb a steeper hill and go through tougher times, you can get through a lot. Secondly is what I was alluding to a minute ago, which is how can we, you know, embrace innovation in times of all this complexity, again, see the opportunity in it. And maybe it does challenge our business model, but also does this create the opportunity for innovation? What's the tried and true, you know, necessity is the mother of invention? Well, this is necessity. This is creating it. But are you fostering a culture of innovation, or are you fostering a culture of protecting the legacy business? And I'm not saying go kill the cash cow that makes, you know, your business run. But at the same time, how do we, you know, embrace these things to be able to, like, maybe this is the opportunity to rethink our business? So those are just like two very simple to say, harder to put through. But when leaders at the company are articulating those kinds of things, then people want to be inspired. They want to know that what they do matters. They want to know that the company cares about them and that what we do is important to our customers, the world at large. And yeah, maybe that's the third thing, is this is an opportunity for leaders to lead right now. It's easy to be at the helm when everything is going amazing and just, you know, big 45-degree line going straight up. But when things are tough and, you know, being empathetic and acknowledging things aren't easy. I'm not trying to be Pollyannish, and you know, but when the CEO or whoever the leaders are, it's the team leader on your team. If somebody's listening to this, it's got a small consulting practice and there's three or five of them. They're still looking to you to inspire, to encourage, and to let them know it's going to be okay and we're going to be a better company because of this. That resonates with people and they will go through a lot when they really believe that it matters and that you care.
Yeah. And I want to actually build on what you said with a slightly different angle, which is, how do you think one might be able to tap into community to build resilience and embrace innovation?
Oh, I think that's huge, because we're better together, right? You know, what does scripture say? You know, a cord of three strands is not easily broken, but, you know, one could snap easily. Two might be able to resist a little bit more, but three is not easily broken. We're better together. Life is a team sport. You know, business is a team sport. And so, like, when it's just kind of married two ideas here, David, when we're unified on a purpose and a vision and why you and I as, you know, co-collaborators at Company X, and we both are married to why we're here, but you're kind of lead this function, I'm part of another function. That collaboration is, you know, where the 1+1=3. But if you've got a culture that's very siloed, it's operating in fear, and I'm just doing to kind of live to see another day here, that is not going to foster innovation. And, you know, it's that you know, house of cards is going to fall much more quickly than one that is built on community, working together, being honest about what we're struggling with, right? But with an eye towards optimism, that's kind of the Stockdale paradox, right? Which is, you know, on the one side, there's hope, there's belief that things are going to get better, while at the same time facing the brutal facts of what is right now and living in that tension. It is way easier to live in that tension when you're going through it with other people. Sometimes you're the encourager. Sometimes you're the one that needs to be encouraged. And it's okay to play both of those roles. Nobody's Superman or Superwoman. But community, that the innovation you talked about, like, I don't have all the ideas. You don't have all the ideas. But if we start kind of sparking off of each other, I don't want to be right. You don't want to be right. We just want to figure out what is right. And when we can have that kind of spirit around problem solving, that's all kind of anchored in hope that there's a reason to do this, there's a meaning to what we're doing, and it's going to work out despite what's going on. You know, that's a community that can't be beat.
Yeah, I love that. Bob, we've covered a lot in a short amount of time. first of all, thank you for coming back on the show and doing a deep dive in an area that I think a lot of people are concerned about. And I think how we've kind of ended this conversation with a discussion about how to tap into the resources around you to support one another, build a better world for everybody is a great way to leave this conversation. But for those who want more of Bob and want to learn more about you, access any resources you have, or get in touch with you, where's the best place to go?
No, thank you. So I'm on LinkedIn all the time. So I'm easy to find, Bob Goodwin at Career Club. My email is bob@career.club. And then obviously our website, which is career.club.
Bob, thank you so much for taking the time to join us again on Smashing the Plateau and share your great insights. My guest has been the president of Career Club, Bob Goodwin. Thank you, Bob, for joining us.
David, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of Smashing the Plateau. Our mission is empowering people like you to do more of what you love and get paid what you're worth. Help us spread the message that you can connect passion with profit. Please share this episode with a friend, share it on LinkedIn, and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. I wish you much success in smashing your plateau. See you on our next episode.